Are you ready? Best medicine ever. What is the best medicine ever? Mercy. Because it saves us from the worst illness ever, separation from God. So remember that, Divine Mercy Sunday. The infinite, wonderful, amazing, divine mercy of God. I've been forgiven a million times over, and I stand before you in His mercy. And every breath we take is mercy. It's all mercy. St. John Paul the Great said that mercy is love's second name. Mercy is love's second name. Just a little bit of background to put us in context. It's always important. That's why we have the church, to put our lives in context, because we get caught up in little stuff and maybe sometimes not forgiving other people or problems and things like that. But that's not the context of our life. So St. Faustina, a Polish nun, in the 1930s was given revelation of God's mercy into her life. Now this is in the midst of the spread of communism and Nazism, and we're on the brink towards the end of the 30s of World War II. And she was given this revelation and this need in the most bloodshed, divided world of God's mercy. And this is her diary entry 699. God speaks to her through us today. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. We make it so hard. We think we have to be doing all this histrionics and stuff. Go to confession, receive the Eucharist, adore Him. That will put the evil one at bay and put us in the light, and we'll know what and how to live. Listen to this one. My mercy is so great that no mind, be that of a man or an angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Is that us? Is that you? Or can we be so short on mercy and so great and long on judgment? I reflect on the times that I've been hurt in my life. Instinctively, to protect myself, I would lock the door of my heart, make sure it was bolted down, and then I would hide the key away. So often, I have built a fortress of safety behind that locked door to prevent further injury. I mean, who likes getting hurt? Letting nothing from the other side in, including God. No way I was going to put myself in a position to get bruised and battered again. But this would always bring me to a place of fear and not knowing what's on the other side. It is a really tough predicament. On one hand, to live in fear and unknowing is the exact opposite of what we're created for. On the other hand, if we open the locked door, what's on the other side? What will come of it? Is it safe? How will I be treated if I open up once again to another imperfect human being? Yes, this is where the disciples were in the upper room, and this is where so many disciples are today, the downcast disciples. All their hopes for a Messiah snuffed out. Where to turn? What next? Huddled in fear behind a locked door, darkness and desperation remain. We can just see the disciples paralyzed and unable to help themselves, living in the cramped and suffocating place of fear and the endless darkness of not knowing what's on the other side. It is an image of sad. Satan always divides. Divides us from the knowledge and the power of the resurrection. Divides us from the risen Jesus, whose perfect love casts out all fear. Dividing us from the living knowledge that we can forever flourish with Him. It can happen. What about addictions, depression, and unplanned pregnancy? We all know what desperate actions can spring from this fear and pain. Someone taking their own life. A father and mother taking the life of their child. anxious thoughts constantly haunting, feeling totally helpless and not knowing the power of a Savior to save, behind locked doors, unreachable, untouchable, unredeemable. In the famous painting by Holman Hunt, The Christ Who Knocks, we see behind a locked door a man huddled and paralyzed by a fear and darkness of some kind. Outside the door stands Jesus with a lantern, knocking, ready to relieve the man of his burden. But there's a hitch. The door only has a knob on the inside. Jesus cannot enter unless the man first unlocks the door. There's the implication that God cannot help unless we let God in. Fair enough? Not exactly. And this is the good news. What the cross reveals is that nothing and no one is ever outside the embrace of his mercy. When we are paralyzed by fear, overcome by darkness, and cannot even begin to help ourselves by reaching for the doorknob, Jesus walks through locked doors, stands in the midst of our private hells, and breathes out peace. Breathe that in now. The cross of Jesus Christ does not stand helpless before a locked door. Locked doors. Maybe it is you or your child or your loved one. Jesus now walks through that locked door, and in the midst of your fears, feeling beyond hope and help, in the midst of your not knowing what is on the other side, he says, "Peace be with you." He is the other side, bringing you mercy within mercy within mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.